And spending time with God, as I've said the last several weeks when I have ministered, I sensed that God was leading that we should be spending some time focusing on this specific truth in the Bible. It really is this truth, and I believe they're going to put it on the screen. It's just this simple truth. See it all throughout the Bible. God's extraordinary supernatural power working in your life is the answer for your life. Amen. I thought I'd get a bigger amen than that. That's bigger than you think. That is the answer that answers. God's extraordinary supernatural power working in your life is the answer for your life. Now, most of us don't believe. That's the reason why we'll spend the rest of the week trying to find other answers. But I'm here to tell you, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that is working in you. The power that is working in you has an answer for everything that you're facing in life. And I believe we just need to raise the bar on the fact that we serve a supernatural God, a miracle-working God. He's a God of miracles. We are a people that believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. And we don't make miracles spooky. Simply speaking, a miracle is God doing what you cannot do. How many of you need some God help today? Anybody facing any situations, any issues that you just need some God help? God wants your life to be defined by his involvement. God wants your life to be defined by his ability, his supernatural power. God wants your life to be seen as a sign, as a wonder, and as a God miracle. I've started preaching. If you want to go ahead and hook up and get excited, we're heading on right now. And if I hear it's a little cold out there, some of you got some jackets on, and they control the temperature at district, so we can't change it. So you're just going to have to shout a little louder, stir yourself up, and if you'll yell a little louder, you'll get warmed up really, really quick. God wants your life to be seen as a miracle. God wants who he is to be seen in who you are. Please hear this today. Every need answers to the God of miracles. Every challenge in your life bows to the God of miracles. Every situation that you are facing, hear me, surrenders to God of miracles. Come on, this is our answer. You're not going to find it anywhere else. It's found in God. Your crisis, your need, your impossibility is defeated by God's supernatural response. And it will not happen automatically. You have to have a belief. You have to have a faith that God is a God of miracles and that he's ready and willing to show up in your life right now to do the impossible. I believe that we are to be experiencing the extraordinary possibilities of our God on a regular, daily basis. Remember, Jesus said this in Matthew 19:26. He says, what seems impossible to you. Anybody facing any impossibilities today? What seems impossible to you is never, I love that, is never impossible to God. I've come to tell somebody today, somebody online, somebody that's listening to me, I've come to tell you that miracle is possible. That breakthrough is possible. That restoration is possible. Come on, that healing is absolutely possible. That supernatural provision is possible. Now, many of us are saying, I've caught myself saying this the last several weeks. God, this is going to take a miracle. You ever caught yourself saying that? God, this is going to take, I don't know how we're going to do this. This is going to take a miracle. I believe that's what the church is saying. God, this is going to take a miracle. I need a miracle. And I believe God is saying, hey, that's what I specialize in. I'm the God of the supernatural. I specialize in miracles. So I declare, I prophesy over you today in this room and online. I prophesy that God is making your life a miracle life, a miracle sign, a miracle wonder. I believe God is making a life that cannot be explained except by his supernatural power operating in your life. Now, that's my introduction over this whole series of messages that we'll be doing in the weeks ahead. But today, I want to talk from this subject matter, this right here. God, open my eyes. It's actually a prayer in the Bible. God, open my eyes to see what you see. In this context of supernatural, in this context of miracles, I believe this is a great starting point for us here today to stir our faith that God can fix what our issues are. And the way he's going to begin to fix them is we gotta see what God sees. God, open my eyes to see what you see. The Apostle Paul prayed this prayer over the church at Ephesus there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Notice what he says here. Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart, not the eyes of your head, that's some of your problems. You got other eyes you need to open up. The eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may see how great the things are that he has promised to those who belong to him. Your head's seeing the wrong thing. You need your heart to see what God sees. And Paul prays the prayer, and that's my prayer before we get out of here today, is God, open up the eyes of our understanding. God, that we would have enlightenment to see how great the things are that you have promised us. Paul is saying, oh, that you would begin to see beyond the natural realities and begin to see into the God possibilities. That's my prayer. That's my desire for this church, for our lives, is that God would open our eyes. That God would open our eyes to the great things he has for us, not only as a church, but for our homes and our families and our businesses. That God would open up our eyes to the possibilities and the opportunities, to the life that God has prepared and planned for us. We see this actually throughout all the Bible, where people would pray, God, open their eyes. We see it, the psalmist said it this way in Psalms 119, verse 18. Open my eyes so that I can see what you show me. It's possible for God to be showing something and you not see something. Oh, that's powerful. And the psalmist is praying, God, open my eyes so that I can see what you have, what you're showing, what you're displaying. God, and then he tells us what God is trying to show, your miracle wonders. God doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. Maybe you don't need this, but I really do need some God help in my life. I need it in my marriage. I need it in my home. I need it raising my grandkids. They're all Viking fans. I just don't understand it. I need some God help. Come on, am I all by myself? Does anybody else need some God help in this place? Come on, we can have church or we can have church. Why is it so important for God to open our eyes? Because when God opens our eyes, we're able to see what others cannot see. We're able to see the possibilities that God has for us. We're able to see the opportunities that God has for us. God, open our eyes. I wonder what God has prepared for us that we're not even seeing. We're clueless. We just don't have any idea, and so we struggle day after day, week after week, and yet God has provision. You know, my wife, she's so good at helping me to open my eyes. It happens every week at our home. I'll go to the refrigerator and I'll open it up. And I'll stand in front of that refrigerator sometimes for 5 minutes. And I said, baby, it's happened again. We've ran out of milk. I can't believe you've done this to me. I've already poured the cereal, and now I have no milk. I see no milk. And she said, oh, there's milk in there. I said, there's not milk in here. I've looked for, I've been here for 5 minutes. There is no milk here. She says, it's right in front of you. I said, there's no milk in this refrigerator. And every time she'll come over and she'll say, it's right there. It's right there. And sure enough, she opens my eyes. I believe that's what God wants to do to some of you. You're griping and complaining over what's not in your refrigerator. And I believe God has some help. God has a miracle. God has some provision. Amen. And then I pushed back on her and said, well, if you wouldn't buy a different brand every time, put it in a different box every time, I would see the milk in there. Maybe that's what God's trying to get to you. You're not in control. And he's got some different packaging of what he's doing. Come on, somebody. Oh, my prayer today. I wish somebody would. My prayer today is that God would open up our eyes to what he has for us. I've been stirred with this in just my personal devotion over the last several weeks. In fact, the Lord began to deal with me about just reading stories. And he's had me do this before, but I begin to read them again. Stories where God would open up the eyes, and they would see what they could not see. And I want to just give you a couple of them today as we're pressing into this idea that God wants to do something powerful in your life. God wants to make a way where there seems to be no way. God wants to remove the struggle. He wants to remove the limitation. He wants to heal you. He wants to deliver. He wants to restore you. So let me show you the possibilities and the opportunities of what happens when God opens our eyes. At least four times in scriptures I can find throughout the Bible where we see this phrase, and God opened their eyes. Here's the first one. We see it in Genesis chapter 21, beginning with verse 15. Let me read the story here. This is where God opens the eyes of Hagar. The Bible says, and the water in the skin was used up. That was like a canteen. It was an animal skin in which they would carry water. And the Bible says, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. That's her child. And then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. That's hunting terms right there. And probably about 100 yards away. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of my boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not. I want you to pay attention to that, because you're going to see this in some other stories too, that when God shows up on the scene, one of the first thing he always says is fear not. Somebody needs to hear that today. You're panicking. You're stressed, you're overwhelmed, and God is here to tell you today, fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him up with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. I will make him a great nation. So God doesn't just have peace for Isaac, he has peace for Ishmael too. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. Powerful, powerful story. Here is Hagar. Let's give you a little background here and make some points here before we go on to the next one. But here's Hagar, and she's in a desperate situation. She has been put out by Abraham and Sarah, and with nowhere to go, she ends up getting stranded, the Bible says, there in the desert. And after a while, she runs out of food and she runs out of water. Things get so bad that Hagar knows that her son is going to, they're dying of thirst. And so she places the child under a bush, and the Bible says she cannot bear to stay there. So she goes about 100 yards away so she can't hear the cry of the child, and she sits down, and Hagar begins to cry over her desperate situation. Now, the Bible says, I like this, that God heard the cry of the child. I like that. God heard the cry of the child. Not Sarah, but the cry of the child. Where the child, that's what God heard. God heard where the Oh my, God knows where your child is. God knows where your son is. God knows where your God knows where your family is. And God can hear the cry on the inside of them. God hears the cry of the child. And the Bible says that God tells Hagar to go and pick up the child. And he says this, for I will make him a great nation. I will take this ugly situation and I will make it great again. God is saying to Hagar, I don't care what you're hearing. I don't care what you're seeing, because something great is getting ready to come out of this situation. Something's great is getting ready to come out of him, your child. And when Hagar heard that, she picked up the child. And the Bible says that when she picked up the child, her eyes were open and she saw a well of water. She saw the provision that she needed. What had been invisible to her, what had been there all along, when she picked up the child, her eyes were open to the provision. So here's my first point, and it's exciting. When God opens your eyes, you're going to see God's supernatural provision. Oh, I should get a better amen. Does anybody need some supernatural provision? My prayer for you is that God would open your eyes. And the first account that we see when God opens up their eyes is we see a miracle of supernatural provision. My prayer is for every person in this room, every person online, that you would begin to see that God has supernatural provision for that situation that you're facing. It's not over. God's getting ready to do something great in that situation. Come on, he's not just hearing your cry. He's hearing the cry of the situation. He's hearing the cry of the brokenness. He's hearing the cry of what the enemy has done. And God is getting ready to make something great out of that situation. And how is he going to do it? He's going to open your eyes up to the supernatural provision. You're not going to have to do it by yourself. God is going to get involved. But what's crazy to me is it was there all along. Couldn't see it. I wonder what is available to us all along. We just ain't got time for it. We ain't got time for it. People ain't got time for God. Ain't got time to worship anymore. Ain't got time for it. It was there. And once God opened the eyes, see, that's a good thing why you're here today, because I believe God is opening up our eyes. Come on, online. God is opening up our eyes. He's opening, it was there all along, but it wasn't until God opened her eyes that she could see it. I believe this week's going to be different for you. Come on, somebody needs to release their faith for this. I believe this week can be different for you. That you think it's an impossible situation, you think it's a crisis and it's over, and you have backed away and you have got a distance and you can't stand the pain any longer. But I'm here to tell you, God's got some provision. And God's about ready to open your eyes to some supernatural provision. I believe for this church, God's got some supernatural provision. I believe he's got a place. I believe he's got a building. Amen. And God, we're praying, open our eyes. That's my prayer for you today. Now, listen to this. Ishmael was Hagar's dream. And she laid down her dream. She thinks it's dead. But God tells her to pick it back up. And I've come to tell somebody here today who has laid down their dream, pick it back up. You need to pick that back up and lift it up to God. That dream, that calling, that assignment, that hope. Can I get an amen? I'm looking for some help in here. Does anybody believe that God can work a miracle? And God is saying, if you'll pick it back up, if you're not a quitter, and if you'll pick it back, if you'll pick the assignment back up, if you pick the dream back up, all of a sudden you're going to begin to see See, what God is saying is, God is saying, I need your yes. I need the church's yes. I need your willingness to say, Lord, I'll do it. And if you'll pick that dream back up, I believe this will be a week of miracles. I believe God will open our eyes to the provision that he has for us. Maybe I'm talking to the wrong room. Maybe online I'm talking to the wrong. Does anybody need some supernatural provision? I mean... You'll go work all week long, 60, 70 hours, and wear yourself out and then act like you're so sanctimonious here this morning, like you don't need no money. God wants to open you. God wants to get involved. See, that's the thing. We keep trying to do this without God's help. And I'm just here today to try to remind somebody that there's help. Come on, there's a supernatural ability of God. And if God will open our eyes, come on, we won't have to work as hard for it. We'll have favor. We'll have a life that cannot be explained except by the supernatural power. How did you do that? Well, let me introduce you to the miracle worker, a supernatural. Come on, say, somebody shout, provision's coming. Come on, you're getting ready to see what you have not seen in your life. Here's the second story. God opens the eyes of Balaam. I love this story. I was reading it today just all week long, just laughing about this. If you haven't read this, it's in Numbers chapter 22. Let me just give you just kind of basically what's happening. There was a great prophet by the name of Balaam, and the Bible says he was so used by God that whatever he blessed was blessed. Whatever he cursed was cursed, but tragically, towards the end of his life, he became corrupted, and he took a bribe from a wicked king for a certain amount of money to curse God's people of all, curse God's people, Israel there. And so what Balaam does is, the Bible says, he gets on a donkey, and he's going to go curse God's people, and he starts down the road, and he's gonna curse what God has blessed. And just let me give you the end of the story. You can't, I don't care who you are, you can't curse what God has blessed. I don't care who you think you are, if God has blessed them, you cannot curse them. And so he's on his donkey, and he's on his way to curse God's people. And the Bible says that while he's riding down the middle of the road, all of a sudden, in the middle of the road, there's this big old angel with the sword that's standing in the middle of the road. Now, the Bible says that Balaam could not see the big angel in the road, but the donkey, sometimes your animals are smarter than you. But the Bible says the donkey saw the angel of the Lord. And the Bible says that donkey took off into a field out of the path. Made Balaam so mad, he gets his whip out, and he starts whipping his donkey and drags the donkey up there and puts him back on the trail. And so Balaam strikes the donkey, gets the donkey back on the road, and they're on the path again, and there's rock walls on each side, and this angel appears for the second time on the path. He's heading, trying to curse God's people. He's on his way, and now all of a sudden, the donkey once again sees the angel of the Lord in the middle of the road with the big old sword. And so the donkey stops and pushes Balaam up into the rock wall and crushes his foot. And now Balaam's ticked off. He's mad. He's cussing, doing a preacher thing. And he's taking his whip out, and he's whipping on this donkey and upset. And he takes that rod and hits that donkey, and the donkey continues and gets upset. And so he finally gets the donkey back into the trail again. They're going back down, and they hit this narrow road, narrow part of the road. The Bible's very clear about it. And all of a sudden, there's no way to turn around. And here's this angel one more time, big old sword right in the middle of the road. The donkey can't turn around, so the donkey just lays down in the middle of the road. And the angel Lord appeared again. So the donkey just lays down, and Balaam gets so angry, he begins to beat the soup out of his donkey, begins to beat his donkey. And then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and the donkey started talking to Balaam, to the preacher. The donkey said, and it's all there in Numbers chapter 22. The donkey says, I've been with you a long time. The donkey's talking. I've been with you a long time. I've always obeyed you. I've always done what you wanted me to do. I've always gone in the direction that you wanted me to go. Can't you see there's a reason why I'm trying to turn around? There's a reason why I keep stopping. And the Bible says Balaam starts talking back to his donkey. The donkey's talking to him. He's talking to the donkey. There's a big old angel in the road with a sword. And the Bible says that Balaam starts talking back to the donkey and tells him, I'm so mad at you. If I had a sword myself, I would kill you right here in the middle of the road. Listen to me today. If you understand donkey talk, you might be a donkey yourself. I encourage you to read the story, but here's what I want you to see in Numbers 22, verse 31. The Bible says this, then the Lord opened up Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand. Balaam bowed his head and fell face down on the ground before him. In fact, the angel looked at Balaam and said, if it wasn't for your donkey, you would be a dead man. Your donkey saved you. And Balaam sees the angel. He falls down on the ground. He begins to repent. So here is Balaam beating his donkey. He's insisting on going down this path, this direction. He's insisting that this is the way I'm going to go in life. Yet when God opened up his eyes, hear it, all of a sudden, Balaam could see what he could not see before. All of a sudden, he's seen that he was heading in the wrong direction. So here's my second point. When God opens your eyes, you're not only going to see provision, but you're going to see God's supernatural path for your life. You begin to see, when God opens your eyes, you begin to see the direction that God has for your life. My prayer for us today as a church is that we would have supernatural direction, that God would open our eyes to the supernatural path that God has for us. God wants to open our eyes to the provision that he has. God wants to open our eyes to the direction that he has for our life. Some of us have been insisting, hear me today, on our own way, what we want to do and how we want to do it. You've been blaming the devil. You think it's the devil that's been fighting you, and it could be God in the middle of your road trying to stop you. And he's saying that you need to surrender and you need to get your eyes open to my plan and my path and my purpose and my direction for your life. When God opens your eyes, you don't waste your time going down the wrong path of life. For most of us, it's been the goodness of God, of the Lord, that God didn't let us go down the wrong path. I ought to get a good amen right there. I'm here to tell somebody that God can open your eyes and give you the right path and the right direction. How many of you know God's got the right path and the right direction? Oh, my prayer today is, God, open our eyes to the supernatural provision. God wants to provide for us. God, open our eyes to the supernatural path that you have for us, that we would not waste our lives going down in the wrong direction. Here's the third one. God opens the eyes of Elisha. I referred to this last week in the beginning of service. Most of us know the story in 2 Kings. Elisha's servant walks outside in the morning and sees that they are completely surrounded by their enemy. The Bible says in the cover of night, the Syrian army has come in and surrounded them. They're there to kill Elisha. And so in panic, the servant runs back in to the house and says to Elisha, What are we going to do? We're surrounded by the enemy. Has anybody ever felt surrounded by the enemy? Maybe you're here today. And you feel surrounded by the enemy. There's just no way out. Notice what it says here in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16. And here's what Elisha said. He answered, do not be afraid. There it is again. Do not be afraid. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, notice he prayed. Notice the Apostle Paul prayed for the church that the eyes would be opened. Notice the psalmist prayed. I'm here to tell you, it's an important prayer that we pray in our life. When's the last time you got, God, open my eyes to see what I'm not seeing. Open my eyes to see what you see. I wonder if there's provision right there, but you're just not seeing it. I wonder if the path is just right there, but you're not seeing it. I wonder if you're surrounded by the enemies, but you don't really see the help that God has surrounding you, because that's what the Bible story goes on to say. Then Elisha prayed and said, oh Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord, notice, opened the servant's eyes. That's my prayer for us today. When God opened his eyes, he saw that the mountains is full of horses and war wagons of fire all around Elisha. Some of us, all we see is the enemy surrounding us. But I'm here to tell you, you're surrounded by the help of God. You are surrounded by the help of God. Once Elisha's servant's eyes were open, he saw God's help. He saw God's protection. His eyes were open to heaven's help. The warring angels, there's warring angels that God has around about you and your situation to help you, to protect you. He saw that there were more for them than those who were against them. So here's my third point. When God opens your eyes, you're going to see, number three, God's supernatural protection. This is worth hearing today. This is worth you praying today. I'm going to ask my worship team to come back. Oh, God, open our eyes to the supernatural provision. God, open our eyes to the supernatural path that you have. I'm just talking about God help today. God, open our eyes to the supernatural protection. I put them all in P's so that you could remember them. It's a preacher thing. Provision, path, protection. How many of you need protection today? I'm here to tell somebody that God wants to open your eyes so you can see that God has surrounded your life with protection. Some of you, you've been freaking out all week because all you see is the enemy. And you're here today because God wants you to see the God help. He wants you to see the warring angels that are ready to defend your life. That regardless what you're facing, what God wants you to see, that there is more that are for you than them that are against you. Somebody needs to hear that today. There are more that are for you than them that are against you. In Psalms 34, verse 7 says, for the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. God has you surrounded. Hear me today. God has your family surrounded. God has your children surrounded. God has your purpose surrounded. He has your health surrounded. There's more that are for you than those that are against you. Say this with me. Say, there is more for me. That's pitiful. Say it again. Say, there is more for me than those who are against me. If you only knew the times already protected you. If you only knew the times that God has already protected you, you'd have a hard time sitting there. If the screens would ever reveal and the curtains would ever be pulled back, the many times that God has protected your life, it'd be hard to sit there and act all religious. Oh, you'd probably find a shout. Probably find a dance. I just have to remind myself, Randy, you didn't get here by yourself. And how many times has he protected me? How many times has he been there for me? Oh, that our eyes would be open to the supernatural provision. That our eyes would be open to the path of God. I'm tired of going down the wrong. I'm tired of beating on my donkey, acting like I know what to do. God, open my eyes. I'm tired of going in circles. I'm tired of trying to curse what you've already blessed. Hello? Maybe you're not fighting the devil. Maybe you're fighting God in this. Come on. What we need to do is surrender to the path that God has for us. Oh, God, open our eyes. And we don't have to be afraid. Though we may be surrounded by trouble, there's more on our side. There's more that's for us than them that are against us. We have supernatural protection. Let me give you the last one and we'll be all done. And this one's really quick, and this is where I want to take communion today. If you didn't get communion, ushers, maybe you can help me. I don't know if you've got communion back there, but if you didn't get communion, maybe the ushers can kind of help move in the aisles. And I believe this is how God wants us to close the service. You just, if the ushers are moving the aisle and you need communion, just raise your hand and hopefully they can get some to you. In Luke chapter 24, this is the fourth time in scriptures we see that God opened their eyes. Jesus has just died and he's been raised from the dead. And two of the disciples, they're overwhelmed by all the events that has taken place. I mean, think about it. Their Savior has just died. The Bible says they're walking down a road to a place called Emmaus. We know that familiar story in the Bible. They're walking down the road. They're discouraged. They're confused. They're grieving. And it's in this moment that all of a sudden, Jesus joins them on the road heading towards Emmaus. But for some reason, somehow, I don't understand it, they did not recognize Jesus. Here they are, they're just two of them, and they're discouraged, they're overwhelmed by the situation, and all of a sudden, Jesus joins them, and Jesus begins to walk with them, and they get in conversation, and Jesus begins to talk to them, starting, the Bible says, with Moses, and talks through all the prophets. They're shocked that he's not even aware about what has happened with the Messiah, that they crucified Jesus. They're totally oblivious that this is Jesus himself. In fact, for 40 days after he was raised from the dead, he would just show up to people like that, just crazy stuff. And so they're walking down the road, and Jesus is teaching them about Moses and about all the prophets. And finally, after walking all day, they get to Emmaus there. They looked over at Jesus and they say, Jesus, come into our home for dinner. They didn't know it was Jesus still, but they said, hey, we've been walking all day. Why don't you go ahead and come in and rest and we'll have a meal. And they invited Jesus into their home for dinner, which is a big lesson right here, right? Because the Bible says that Jesus would have kept on going if they hadn't invited him. The lesson is that if you want Jesus in your home, he's not going to intrude. He has to be invited. You have to want him. And so Jesus goes in the home and they're having dinner there. And notice what Luke chapter 24, verse 30 says, as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. And then he broke it and gave it to them. I read that, as a Bible student, just it's like, wait a second. We've seen this before. Let me read it again. They're, remember the upper room? Remember Jesus has already been with his disciples many times. And notice what he sat down. Jesus took the bread, blessed it. He broke it and gave it to them. They have to be thinking, they don't know who this guy is. They have to be thinking, we've seen this before. And suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him. They finally, after all day long, they finally realized it's Jesus. And at that moment, he disappeared. Crazy story, huh? Just disappears, right? So here, they have to be thinking, we've seen this before. And when they ate, the Bible says, of the communion, their eyes were open and they realized it was Jesus. Their eyes were open to the fact that Jesus had been with them all day long.
You're not hearing me.
Their eyes were open to the fact that Jesus had been with them all day. They didn't know Jesus had been with them all day, but their eyes were open to the fact. I'm here to tell somebody here today that even when you didn't realize it, your master, your savior, your Jesus has been with you on that dirty, dusty road called life. So here's the fourth point. When God opens your eyes, you're going to see God's supernatural presence. The God that's always with you. When God opens your eyes, you're going to realize that God's been with you. He's been there all the time. When you didn't think he was there, he was there. When you didn't think you were hearing him, he was talking. When you didn't think he cared about you, when you didn't think he was doing anything in your life, I've come, you got to hear it, I've come to tell somebody today, God has been there all the time. My Bible tells me that he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you, he is with you on the road. And my prayer is that your eyes will be open today, that God has been there, that you have his presence 24/7. That your eyes would be open to the provision. Your eyes would be open to his path. Your eyes would be open to what? His protection. That your eyes would be open to his presence. How many times have I come to the place and say, God, where are you? Some of you are there right now. Some of you in this room, some of you online, you're saying, where is God? You feel like he's nowhere to be found. But see, when your eyes really get open, you find out that he hasn't forsaken you, that he hasn't neglected you, that he's been there all. I've come to tell somebody here today, regardless of the struggle, God is right there in the middle of your mess. I've seen that in my own life so many different times where I thought, God, where are you? Why have you abandoned me? God, I don't feel you. I don't sense you. God, I don't see you. I don't see anything working in my life. The truth of the matter is God is there. God is there right now in your mess. The Bible tells us that he works all things out for the good of them that love him and are called by his name. What is God doing? He's taking the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he's working it all out to your bit. Oh, that your eyes would be open, that God has not neglected you, that God has not forsaken you. God is with you. Say that with me. Say, God is with me. Just stand to your feet right where you're at. God is with me. I know this is simple, but if nobody else needed it, I needed this message for myself. God opened my eyes to the provision that I have not been seeing. I believe God's got some supernatural provision for us this week. I believe God's got some miracles for us this week. Come on, I believe God is ready to make you a sign, a wonder, and a mirror. I believe God's got some provision, some supernatural provision for you. I believe God's got a path. Some of you are saying, man, I just don't know what to do with my life. God knows what to do with your life. Come on, God's got the path. He's got the direction. I think we're looking in all the wrong places. We're trying to get our provision through what we can do. We're trying to get direction by going on TikTok. I'm here to tell you, God's got direction for your life. God's got protection for your life. It don't matter how many's coming against you, there's always still more that are for you. And here's what you need to get a revelation of. This is out of all the four, this is the one that, man, God just really pierce my spirit with my heart. He says, Randy, I've always been with you. Some of you are so grumpy because you feel like God has neglected you, but I'm here to tell you, God has always been with you. I said, God has, if you only knew what he's protected you from. I'm here to tell you, he's working on it. He's working. He's taking the good. He's taking the bad. He's taking the, he's working on something. And if our eyes would be open to the supernatural power of God, I believe our lives will get better and better and brighter and brighter. Come on. Our best days are ahead of us, church. Our best days are upon us. And it all starts with this simple idea. Is God, open my eyes to see what you see in my life. Because God sees it differently than you see it. And if you'll see it like God sees it, it's game on. It's called the supernatural. It's called the miracles. It's called God doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. Father, my prayer today in this room is that you would open our eyes. God, those online, open our eyes. God, open our eyes to the incredible possibilities, to the opportunities, to the supernatural happenings. God, we don't want to just live a natural life. We want to live a natural life, experiencing the supernatural power of God. God, make our life a sign, a wonder, and a miracle. God, open our eyes to the provision. God, open our eyes to the direction and the path that you have for us. God, open our eyes to the protection. We have no reason to fear. Take authority over the spirit of fear today. We command it to go in the name of Jesus. Father, open our eyes to your presence that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. God, open our eyes to your supernatural happenings. Just worship you, Lord. Come out of your own mouth today. There in your home, there in your car, wherever you're at, just begin to worship him. See, I can't do all your praying for you. Maybe you... I've been praying this 1,000 times over this week. God, open my eyes. God, open my eyes. He's not left you. He's not neglected you. God, open my eyes to it. Come on, he's not left you stranded. He's got supernatural provision. This could be the very day. This could be the very moment. This could be the very week that things open up to you. What you thought was over is not over. God is a supernatural working God. Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes, Lord.
You're not finished. Open my eyes to see what you see. You're not finished yet. You're not finished yet. God, open my eyes to see what you see. That you're not finished. You're not finished. Even when, 'cause even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. 'Cause even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop. Even when, 'cause even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop, no. 'Cause even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop, you never stop.
Before we take communion, just want to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're in this room and you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've been in this moment today and your eyes have been opened, that he's your Savior, that he's the one that died for you upon a cross to take your sin, and that he has forgiveness for you, that he wants to clothe you in his righteousness, If that's you here today and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, if you were to die right now, you don't know where you would spend eternity. This is an invitation to those that don't know where their eternity lies. If you're here today and you want to know that you know before you leave here or even online that your life is right, you know that this service is all about you surrendering your life to Jesus, making him Lord of your life. As I look all over this congregation, believers praying right now. No one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. You're not right with God. You never surrendered your life to him. Maybe you've done that at one time, but you're kind of in a backslidden condition and you just kind of been doing your own thing. But today you want to settle the issue that if you was to die right now, if Jesus was to come back right now, you know you would spend eternity in heaven with him. If that's you today, and you know that you know you need to surrender your life, you're ready to make Jesus Lord of your life, would you just raise your hand right where you're at and hold it up and keep it up as I look all over this congregation, that you just raise it high in the air. I'm telling you, God is taking notice of this moment. Hands going up all over this building, up in the balcony. I believe people are online. Come on. I believe there's some more here today that said, I need to surrender my life. I say yes to Jesus. If that's you, just raise your hand real high. Just raise it real high. And say, Pastor, would you lead me in a prayer? Any others? Any others? Any others? Amen. So many hands. If you lifted your hand, you can put it down. If you lifted your hand or should have lifted your hand, I want to ask you and invite you into this prayer. All of us praying this prayer. We're not repeating a prayer. We're meaning a prayer. The Bible says if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ died for you, was raised from the dead for you, you shall be saved. Say this with me. Say, Father, today I surrender my life. I need Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for me, took my sins, and gives me a robe of righteousness. I believe he was raised from the dead so that I could rise back to life. And today, from this day forward, with your help, Father, I'm going to live for you. Jesus, be my Lord and be my Savior. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. We celebrate with those that prayed that prayer. If you prayed that prayer, you're going to put on the screen a QR code, and they're going to leave it up there most of the service, hopefully. Before you slip out here, we're going to take communion. I believe in this moment we're getting ready to have here. It's just going to be a moment. If you prayed that prayer, you surrendered your life to Jesus, would you let us know who you are? So absolutely important. So many hands went up in this room today. If that's you, would you go on this QR code and let us know who you are? Because this is what I spend my week doing. I begin to pray for you. Our staff prays for you. If we don't have your name, we can't pray for you. If you'll give us your name, then we'll spend our week believing that what God has started this moment, that he's going to complete that work. And I believe you need some people praying on your behalf. Amen. How many of you have communion? You ready to take communion? No. Everybody got good. Raise up communion if you got it. I want to make sure people got it. Okay. They're at home. You can make shift, do whatever you need to do. I believe this is just a great moment. Isn't it interesting that most of the times their eyes were open to prayer, you know, when God would pray for them or people would pray for them. But the disciples' eyes were open when they took communion. He took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he ate it, took the cup. We understand the bread it represents the body of Christ that was broken for us. We understand that the juice represents the blood of Jesus. We have forgiveness of sins, that he took our sins. He who knew no sin became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. You know what my prayer is? And I wanted to do this at the end. And I believe as we take communion today, this week's going to be different. So you're talking to a crazy preacher. I believe in supernatural moments. And just by the simple little wafer and the simple little juice, it represents the supernatural body and blood of Jesus, our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords, I believe as we reverence this moment and partake of communion, I believe our eyes are going to see like we've never seen. We're going to begin to see provision like we've never seen provision. We're going to begin to see the path like we've never seen the path. We're going to begin to see protection like we've never seen protection. Come on, somebody. And we're going to know that we know, whether we feel like it or not, He is always by our side. So, Father, we lift up the cup. We lift up the juice, the bread, God, that represents Your body and the blood that was shed for us. God, my prayer over this church in this moment, that as we partake of Your body and we partake of Your blood, God, You would open our eyes. No more fear. No more worry. No more limitations. No more shortage. No more disappointment. No more wrong rows. No more confusion. You are with us. God, open our eyes. I declare over Your people, God, that eyes are coming open to the supernatural provision of God. Eyes are coming open to the supernatural path of God. Our eyes are coming open to the supernatural protection of God. Our eyes are coming open, Lord, to Your supernatural presence. In this moment, God, that's my prayer for those in the room, watching online. God, do something supernatural. Open our eyes in the name of Jesus, we pray. Come on, you partake right now.
Thanks for listening. If this impacted you and you'd like to partner with us, go to celebrationchurch.cc/give to help us reach people with the message of Jesus.